Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago. That's right. It is Monday, November the 13th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a show for you today. Today's topic, man, is going to be good. Hope y'all ready for this. Six reasons to sit in a different seat when you go to the church house. Six reasons to sit in a different seat when you go to the church house. That's going to be our topic of conversation today. We're going to talk about that and some other stuff. But as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry from the south side of Chicago, First Bethel Church in the house, the one and the only Pastor Cornelius. What's your middle name?
None.
Is he got an initial?
No.
You ain't got no initial, nothing?
I don't have no middle name.
Parts in the house, y'all. Parts in the house. Yeah. Oh, let's do this. You can pull that mic up.
Yeah,
so that way you can. Yeah, no, that way you can. And then I finish. Yeah. But man, yeah, so he's in the house, y'all. We're going to have a good time today. And so let me give you a rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are want to email the show, taking the limits off at Comcast.net, taking the limits off at Comcast.net. We would love to hear from you all today via email. If you are on social media, if you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We would definitely love to hear from you that way as well. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Appreciate all y'all who always watch on Ustream. And if you haven't already, get the app. Get the Ustream app. You can do that as well. But thank you so much to my Ustream watchers and listeners. Amen. And then Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. Facebook Live is up and running. Facebook.com. One more time. /TTLO radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find us right there. And then that, last but not least, subscribe to our podcast by simply doing a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with and you can find us there. Okay, what just happened right here?
What was that?
The Facebook live feed just cut off. I don't know what just happened. I was gonna say, did they put me back in Facebook jail just that quick? Let's find out. Okay, all right. Let me see what's going on. All right, we're gonna try this again. All right, we just gonna try it one more time. Wow, that was strange. Okay, he blaming Trump. That's who it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all, it was a good man, good weekend. Parks, what's happening, man? What's going on with you?
Got this thing, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. How was the pre-Thanksgiving feeding? Tell us about that, man. And why you wait till the last minute? You didn't tell nobody you was doing that.
Well,
that's how you do. That's how you do, man. That's how you do. That's how you do me.
I'm guilty on this.
People be trying. We want to support. Where did you put it out there?
I've been put it out there.
About the pre-Thanksgiving feed?
Yeah.
I must have missed all of that.
Yeah.
Tanya, did you know? Tanya didn't know. If Tanya didn't know, then it wasn't out there.
I really did. It's been on my Facebook page for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And
there we go. Couldn't hear you.
No, let me say this.
Okay.
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks.
Okay.
It was a great success. We was able to feed hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the great part about it was the church stepped up in a magnificent way.
Mm-hmm.
They did their part in the capacity of outreach. They brought everything that they said they was going to do, and they had a great
mm-hmm.
hospitable spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was excellent. It turned out to be excellent, man, and I'm thankful for it. So
that's good, man. So it had a good turnout?
Great turnout. Great. You know,
I saw the people in there.
Yeah, but
I watched some of your live feed before, but they hadn't actually started serving
right,
yet.
Exactly.
Still,
right. Now, I'm going to tell you this.
I saw you walking around sampling the food. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say what?
Yeah, I really was, you know, to make sure that it was good
it was
enough
up
for
the pie.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's
yeah.
what you – I get it. I understand.
Now, I'm going to say this. One thing I learned, and Lord gave this to me.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you open the door, the people will come.
Wow. Wow.
People can't come to a closed door.
That's good. That's good.
And we didn't do a lot of advertising
mm-hmm.
In regards to it.
Right, right.
But we really did do it,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord showed up, and he really blessed us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm appreciative for it. I'm
mm-hmm.
appreciative for all those who donated, all those who played a major part in it.
Well, I was glad to hear you say that the, you know, and we don't want to get, we ain't got to go too far into it, but I was glad to hear you say that, you know, everybody stepped up and did what they did. I know a lot of times you're not just with you, but with a lot of churches, you depend on people to say they're going to do stuff, and then the day comes and, you know, you're sitting around wondering, like, you know, what happened to the Kool-Aid you said you was going to bring, you know?
Right now, and I'm going to say this, I'm learning that in order for people to step up, you got to step back. and you know, this event, I pretty much took a back seat because I really wanted to see if they was going to step up and do their part, and I can honestly say they did the part. Mm-hmm. They did. And
okay.
So I'm I was, even yesterday I was full, and we had a high service yesterday. You
That's
know?
Good.
It's not too often that First Bethel we just go for what we know,
mm-hmm.
and we went there yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm appreciative for that.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I was glad, like I said, I was glad to see it. You know, you all was early, but you know what? I think I think that any church that can do something should do something. You know, because people, you know, it's hard to do stuff the week of, because people, they got their own families, their own lives and stuff they're trying to get, you know, set up and for a holiday. But I was glad to see it. And the people who were there, you know, that I saw on the video for the short time you had it up, it looked like they were just happy to be there, man. It was the spirit. You know what it was? I saw your people that were there to work. They looked like they had a spirit of you know what I'm saying?
They
had that hospitality spirit, was just like ready. They were like
they
excited
did,
about
man.
It. And it's good to see people.
You hitting it on the head.
Yeah, it was good to see people who excited about what they were doing versus let me just go down here and get this over with.
Yeah, and it wasn't like that.
Exactly.
They
didn't look like
that
at all, man. And I love to see people who want to serve. That's who I want serving me. This is like if you go to a restaurant. If you got a nasty attitude, I want you bringing me my food.
Exactly, man.
You know what I'm saying? If you ain't feeling it, then guess what, man? You know, you liable to do or say anything, or, you know, throw my stuff on the plate any kind of way.
You know, it's a couple of things that I noticed yesterday. Saturday.
Okay.
It was the gratitude of the people. Certain people
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
can change your whole culture.
Mm.
And I have some newer members that. Been there, but never really had the opportunity to partake.
Okay.
And I believe their presence
okay.
mattered
mm-hmm.
because those are the ones who really was doing a lot of singing and just
mm-hmm.
Their warm spirit. And it was like fire. It was burning. It caught on to people. It was contagious.
That's cool.
And so we was able to do our job, able to do exactly what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it carried over to yesterday.
Wow! See,
it carried over,
and that's what's supposed to happen when you pull off a vision comes to pass
yeah.
for a program, a God breathed vision comes to pass, and when you get to Sunday morning, that's when you celebrate what just happened. That's when you celebrate what just happened, and I think part of the problem is a lot of times you don't see that. You see that down Sunday goes, like, you're wondering, like, why is Sunday so down after we just did what we did? And it's because you weren't happy when you were doing it on the day before. Because
I'm up to it was a totally different atmosphere.
That's awesome.
Yesterday, at you know, I was so to the point that I almost didn't preach because I was just, like,
full. Like,
wow,
man.
Wow.
And
that's
so
awesome.
I'm appreciative. This I could honestly say, and you know, sometimes I seem to be hard on for my members, but I am they make me a proud pastor.
Wow.
They did.
That's awesome.
Because I believe they're getting my heart.
Mm.
And it's showing in their actions now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's good. So what did you preach about yesterday?
Man, I preached Stop Fighting It, It's Changing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo, Lord. Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I preached Stop Fighting It.
Stop Fighting It.
It's Changing.
It's Changing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to Galatians 6.
That just messed me up.
That does not get weary and I will doing.
That just messed me up right there.
Yeah, man.
Stop
fighting it. It's changing. For real.
Some of y'all can get that later.
As
the old preacher say, that hits you on the way home.
Yeah, my 3 points, don't lose your heart, don't lose your drive, and don't lose your passion. In the midst of you fighting, you're going to lose some things along the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the stuff you lose, you probably need to be carrying no way.
Man, listen here.
I went to go see Kirk Franklin last week Wednesday.
Yeah.
And one of the things Kirk said, I love Kirk, man. Kirk, I don't know why Kirk ain't going ahead and just preaching somewhere. He might well going to be a pastor. But
right.
Kirk said this, man. He talked about flying on an airplane.
Okay.
And he said how much it costs for luggage.
Oh, wow.
And he said, what we found is when they started charging us so much for luggage, he says, what we found is we were carrying a whole lot of stuff that we did not need.
We did not need.
He says, so now when you fly, you have to take inventory.
Oh, my God.
I almost shot in that place.
Oh, my God.
He said, now when you fly, you have to take inventory. To take only what's necessary.
What's necessary.
Oh, my. Only take what's necessary with you on your journey. Because if you take all of this extra stuff, you got all these extra bags and all this extra stuff. Not only is it, and watch this, he says it's going to cost you something, but then it's probably going to be, it's probably going to hurt you once you get where you're going. It's going to slow you down. It's going to stop momentum. Man, that place went up like crazy.
We're guilty in another capacity.
Yeah.
I love that, but also when we get to the hotel, first thing we do, we unpack our suitcase and put it in the dressers and drawer.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we unpack in the wrong place.
See. That's good.
Sometimes our baggage in the wrong places.
Right. You should some stuff you should just lived out of the bag.
Just live out because you're only there for.
You're only gonna be there for a short journey.
For a short journey.
Yeah, that's it. But we get in there. Look, you're there for 3 days. You done filled up every drawer in the room, and then when it's time to go, now you're rushing.
Yeah, now you got to repack.
And now you got to check. Where did I put this? Do I have this?
Yeah.
I don't even have to. If I'm like when I go to those bowling tournaments.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got dresser drawers in the room and all that stuff. Don't nothing hit a dresser drawer.
Man, that's crazy.
Because for one, I'm going to mess around and leave something.
That's crazy.
I'm going to leave something.
I'm king of that.
Man.
I am.
I'm going to leave something. I know I went somewhere one time, left my charger for my phone, for my computer. The people mailed it back to me, FedEx. But if you put stuff, if I'm going to be somewhere for 7 to 10 days, then yeah. Because I ain't,
different.
You know, I can put the suitcase
different.
In the closet.
That's different.
And then
you can relax.
You know, right. But
man,
for a 2-day journey,
man,
come on, Doc.
You don't need to unpack everything.
Man, live right on about this bag.
You know, and that's a word for somebody.
It really
stop
is.
Unpacking in the wrong places.
Oh, my.
For
oh
real.
My. That's good.
It is. You live out boxes at home, but unpacking in place you're a guest.
See?
That's a word for somebody.
That's a sermon right there. That's a sermon right there. All I need is my toothbrush. That's
man.
A sermon right
there. Man.
Just bring your toothbrush. Look. That's what they were supposed to do. Oh, my God. That's what they were supposed to do when they left Israel.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
Left Egypt.
Yeah.
All they needed was a toothbrush.
Because how many days?
It should have been a 3-day journey.
A 3-day journey.
So all you needed was a toothbrush and an extra pair of drawers.
Man, they was on a 37-day delay.
37-year delay.
Yeah, 37 years.
40 years. Yeah. Come on now.
For real. That's crazy.
Angela Johnson says, I preach walking in your purpose on purpose. Oh, Lord. Really?
Now, Angela.
Come on now.
I've been, now, I preached
Watch this. I preached when power connects to purpose.
You sure did a couple of weeks back.
And
right?
then I preached discovering your purpose. And
wow.
I'm gonna tell you something, man. Both of them messages really convicted me. I'm talking
wow.
about because you can be in a place in your life
mm-hmm.
that you lose your purpose because of the company, your environment,
yep.
your atmosphere.
Yep.
And when you're in the wrong atmosphere, it's kind of hard for you to be the best you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what happens, you don't change the culture. Now you become part of that atmosphere.
Yep. You've now adapted to where you are.
Exactly. So our problem as Christians, what we should do,
mm-hmm.
Christians should
mm-hmm.
be culture changers.
Mm-hmm.
Atmosphere changes into a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, when we're not strong enough,
mm-hmm.
we adapt to that atmosphere that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now we become like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become that monster that you pretty much despise.
Wow.
And then you wonder why you have not gotten to a place in the Lord.
Ooh.
It's because of the place of state that you're in currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned this. Sometimes you got to be by yourself in order to find yourself or who you really are, man. I'm serious because everybody don't know how to really help push you to your potentials. Because here, my first point was discovering your purpose was listen to your dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're operating – You operate in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good you are or not,
mm-hmm.
if you're not satisfied in it,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, you're not been purposed to do that.
Right, right, right.
You listen to your satisfaction that you get excited
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to do what it is you've been called to do. Here, you're usher. You're
mm-hmm.
excited to come to the door.
You should be.
You
yeah.
should be.
Yeah.
Instead, you're not grumpy. You're not mean.
Mm-hmm.
You're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Here, a security ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have angry people on a security ministry
mm-hmm.
because they're protected. Now, here, somebody comes to them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
They might pull
mm-hmm.
and allow their anger to
mm-hmm.
overtake them. So it's many ministries that I believe that we are doing in the church that we are not assigned to do. And we're just doing it because we want to fill in.
Wow. Wow. Man, I that's good. On Saturday, I went to Angela's church
uh-huh.
to the men's fellowship
okay,
with Pastor Rob.
Okay,
man, I'm gonna say this real quick, and big shout out to
is he cooling down the earth, man?
Man, first of all, this is what I love. There was a lot of guys that man that wasn't even from church.
Wow, that's good.
Which made the conversation that much more open.
But that shows the anointing on his life,
right? But people who showed up, people brought people with them. And people who showed up, man, you know, they you know, of course, he asked a lot of pertinent questions. I'm not going to go into it because it was a men's fellowship, so we keep some of the conversation to ourselves.
All men.
Right, and that's all it was.
Stop being nosy, ladies.
It was, man, it was good. The fact that brothers, I only knew two people. I only met Pastor Rob once. That's
okay.
when I went over to the church.
Okay.
So this is actually my second time being in the room with him.
Okay.
The only other person I knew in the room was Pastor McCall. His last name Johnson was McCall's last name, but he was there, and I met him when we did the show at Reggie Royal's church.
Okay,
radical young brother, man.
Gotcha.
We're definitely gonna have him on. But it was just amazing, man. One of the questions that came up, and I'll give you one of the questions without going into the details of the answers. One of the questions the guy that was asked was, "What happens in your Christian marriage when your wife decides she no longer wants to engage in physical activity?"
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
the fact that so many guys, you know, a lot of times guys won't talk. You know, we don't talk. We really don't.
Real is God.
Right. But guys opened up, man, and just talked about it, and it was just amazing, man. I just sat back and was like, wow.
You know what's amazing about that? I wish.
And we need more of that.
Yeah, I've never said that. I wish when I was married. That
you
I
had something.
Yeah, because that was one of our issues when
mm-hmm.
Before we divorced,
mm-hmm.
the sex was gone.
Wow.
And honestly, when sex is gone, everything is gone. Unless it's a health issue.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, man, it was just, I was sitting there like, wow. And what's interesting is those fellowships are needed.
Oh,
it wasn't overly deep.
Yeah.
We weren't trying to exegete scripture and
of
that. Don't get me wrong. We read the Bible. We
yeah.
used the Bible because we talked about the hierarchy of men and women.
Yeah.
And equality and all that stuff. But when it came down to just talking about stuff that was going on in your lives and how men have been displaced in the church, And the reason why so much stuff in the church is the way it is because men took so long of a step back, and
exactly.
women took the lead.
Exactly.
And in that thing, and now men are slowly creeping their way back into the church.
Yeah.
But you know, it just doesn't. They don't have room for us. It was good, man. I was blessed. So thank you, real big shout out to Greater Love. I'm gonna tell y'all name up. Greater Love, Greater Works, Greater Outreach International, something. I didn't tell the name up. I used to get it real quick, but I done messed it up. But big shout out to them out there in Villa Park. They're definitely going. We're gonna do it
again. Pastor Rob and Angela Johnson.
Pastor Rob, he's gonna do it again. And we talked about moving it around to different locations.
And man, listen,
because a lot of those guys came from the south side.
I was gonna say if he wanted to do it at my location,
a lot of those
my doors open because
came from the south side.
I have
pastors too.
I don't know if I share with you. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook group called Real Men Talking.
Okay.
And it's just simply me and we're talking about issues.
Now, he know he ain't share that with me.
No. I thought honestly.
I don't know if I shared it with
you. No, serious. So how I designed this, mm-hmm. it was from a lot of guys from Washington Park where I play softball.
Okay.
So I get different questions,
mm-hmm.
issues on
mm-hmm.
a regular basis.
Okay.
So I create
a private group, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 49 men in this.
Sweet.
And we can ask questions. Mm-hmm. How do you stay how do you not cheat on your wife?
Right. That question came up.
And
yeah.
all these
yeah.
questions is like
yeah.
men question that we need to better ourselves, personal development.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer.
Mm-hmm.
Iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Proverbs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Proverbs.
Iron sharpens iron. However, sometimes you need real talk.
That's it.
Real, yeah. You know, I love the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I need real talk.
But think about it like this. When we read the Bible, it's scripture to us.
Right.
When Jesus was talking to the disciples, it
yeah.
was just a conversation.
It was a conversation.
Them.
Exactly.
So you know, when he sat down and he talked to Peter, he was like, hey, look, man, this
right.
is how this is.
Exactly.
Now, somebody just wrote it down and gave it to us.
Exactly.
And to us, it became scripture. But he just
it.
Had conversations.
You hid it, man.
Hey, how can I get to the kingdom of heaven? Look, man, this is how it's going to work out.
You hid it.
You know,
and so that's my take, man. You know, it's amazing how we as people of God
mm-hmm.
Lose focus on the small things.
Yes, yes.
Because we're so big trying to deceive ourselves like we're better than what we really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have not arrived yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the church and people is we losing focus on those at which are behind.
Mm.
Because we're moving too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the process of us moving too fast,
mm-hmm.
we're moving with nothing in us.
Wow.
No wisdom,
right.
No knowledge.
Yeah.
So now you're reckless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like a car that's
mm-hmm.
going, driving on
talk about the Mason.
It's like What's a car. Talk about the Masons. It's like
oh.
a car driving on the expressway.
Uh-huh.
And.
Right.
He's just going reckless, going
yeah.
from lane to lane,
yeah.
lane to
yeah.
lane.
Yeah.
Not putting on his signal or anything. He's
right.
just reckless.
Right.
That's how a lot of our lives are.
Yeah. That was one of the things that came up. One of the guys that spoke, he talked about how messy men's lives have gotten. Because
no offense.
Yeah.
We didn't start gossiping more like women. And women,
that's,
you can't get
true.
Mad because you know it's reality.
That's true. That's true.
You guys gossip.
That's
but
true.
But we have taken a stand.
Puffy had a word for that, but we can't use it.
Yeah, right. right. I never seen this in my life, you know, how.
Go YouTube making the band. And y'all.
Man, how men are
yeah.
gossiping now.
And you know what it is? It's there's this thing that crept in, man. And it's you want to be a part of a conversation. And what has happened is this, you know, you depend on who you're with and who's around you. These conversations creep up and you're either going to shut them down or you're going to play a part in it.
Uh-huh.
And you really don't, you know, but it's like these are your friends. These are your compatriots. These are who you hang with. So you don't want to sit there and you know, the first thing people holler is you're being antisocial.
Right.
Because I don't want to be a part of your mess.
Exactly.
And what one of the things that came up is how messy men can be.
Yeah.
And I said, man, again, I'm just grateful. I'm looking forward
yeah.
to it again. I really wish it's one of those things that
it's therapeutic.
It's a ministry. It's an authentic men's ministry. And I think that's what's lacking in the church. And I've been saying this for years, ever since me and Devon went down to South Bend, Indiana a few years ago and met with Pastor Charles King and interviewed him. And we did our show from there. And
He has this group called Men Talk. It's just called Men Talk. They meet once a month. And the majority of the guys, first of all, they don't always meet at the church.
Exactly.
Now, they go to the pool hall.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Bowling alley.
So,
restaurant.
Now I might get rebuked by some of you deep folks.
Go ahead.
But when I meet with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the guys, bring them something they're comfortable with having.
Right. Okay.
Whether it's a drink.
Right.
Cigar.
Right.
Except weed.
Right.
And that's my way of getting them to be relaxed.
Right.
Release.
Mm-hmm.
Being open.
Yeah.
We have a pack. Whatever goes on in this circle, that stays in this circle.
Okay. Okay.
You don't do. Well,
right.
I don't need you to do pillow talking.
That's a lot of the. And a lot. I think a lot of mess comes up from guys going home. And I guess here's the question. And maybe y'all can answer this question for me. Because when I was married, I didn't do it. And it's just not something that I did. I don't think it's something you bring home. If it's something that's going on amongst, like, for instance, let's say you're a deacon, right?
Uh-huh.
Or even a whatever in the church, or whatever your title. Even if it's something, well, I don't think you share everything.
No,
that's
heck
just me.
No,
I don't think you do.
Heck no.
Because here's the problem. You can say, ooh, babe, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
And then babe turn around tomorrow.
Yeah.
And make a phone call.
Man, listen here.
Because if you now, because I'm not always saying Bay was being messy. But watch this. You can say, you know, dude pissed, like somebody said, you know, dude really irritated me.
Uh-huh.
And he said this. Bay might want to come to your defense.
There you go.
And then
that's
she get on the phone and say, call somebody and say, let me tell you what these Negroes said to my husband or my so-and-so. Now you started this rotation of mess. Unintentional.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. A real woman or man wouldn't let nobody but them mess with their significant other.
And because you know that.
That's right.
You keep that from them. I'll give you a very good example. And this is anybody. I don't care if it's your wife, your mama, your sister, whatever. When we did I'll share this with you all, and I ain't going to go into detail. When we did our Q&A session here for me,
okay,
for the pastoral search, right?
Okay.
My mom had been to all of the Bible studies.
Lord have mercy.
She came to all of the Sundays I preached.
Lord,
now, my mom's not a member of the church. So
right.
So even though she could have come to the Q&A session, she would not have been allowed to ask questions.
But she still.
Right? But she could have came. But I know my mama.
Uh-huh.
And I know me.
Uh-huh.
And I have been praying for my patience and self-control and all that, because folk who know me know I will go off on a dime. But watch this. I told my mother, you stay home tonight. And this is the reason why. It was for their protection.
Yeah.
And for mine. Because I knew people were going to come at me with certain mess. And I knew that if she was sitting in the room, I did it for two reasons. I wanted people to be comfortable enough and bold enough to ask whatever they were going to ask. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I know some people
would have held back
because they saw her over there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I don't want that disadvantage. So I said, then too, I know she would have gotten upset with some of the foolery that happened. And then if I looked at her, because you know when your mama upset.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, definitely.
You know when mama is heated.
Definitely.
And the minute I would have looked over and saw her being upset, then I would have in turn gotten upset. Then all bets would have been off.
Oh, definitely.
So
right.
Right.
Question asked.
Look.
Mama.
So I understand. So some stuff you keep away from people because you know that they have a tendency to go out, even if they're just trying to protect you.
That's good teaching.
They have a tendency to go out and react. So that's getting back to the pillow talk discussion. I don't know. Y'all help me. I don't think you share everything. Now, I could be wrong.
Now, honestly, in pillow talk, and I'm going to say this, you don't share everything.
Okay.
And number one.
Because I don't want to know everything that's going on with you and your girlfriend.
Even when I was a married pastor and
right.
associate.
Right.
I couldn't share everything because I know she's going to start treating people different.
See?
So now.
You're right.
If she come to church and I'm up preaching.
Yep.
My ex-wife really wasn't that one that's going to allow a man.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll stand up and things.
Right.
But when it was time for fellowship time.
Uh-huh.
I know she wasn't going to hug those who was getting on my nerve.
See?
So, and then also. Also, you got to have enough strength to deal with folks anyway.
My. Oh,
seriously,
my God.
At the end of the day, I was to Leslie. Everybody know Leslie, my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
We was in the office talking, and she said, you know, some things you should be literally upset about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get upset. Why?
Right.
And I told her, you know, some things you just got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feed into it.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's going to die.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I'm one of them guys, don't let too much bother. Only thing that really bother me is these church bullies. That's what really bothered me. But everything else, I'm so laid back. You can treat me the worst way. You can try to walk over me.
You know what I've learned about church bullies is that they all bark
with no bite.
And really ain't got no bite.
All you
got
to do is roof.
Man, I've learned that over these last few years and really these last few months.
Uh-huh.
That they are all bark
and nobody,
and they're literally like that little dog in the yard.
Wait, so they got this thing on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
This guy, he got a little shih tzu, whatever.
Uh-huh. Okay,
so the little dog mm-hmm. was barking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "Forget this."
Mm-hmm.
He got down on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And start barking
back at the dog.
At the dog, all in the dog face,
uh-huh.
And the dog was just like,
exactly.
Didn't do nothing.
Exactly.
That's how some folks.
What
are.
I've learned is once you put them in their place,
mm-hmm.
and you check them
in love,
pray for me.
In love.
Once you put them, pray for me. Once you put them in their place and check them, it's done deal.
Now, I'm gonna tell you why you do it in love.
No, you're right. I'm not disagreeing.
Right, right. And now this is for to help some people too.
Like gonna help me.
Hey, when you do it,
I'm just saying. You,
hey, where am I going?
People, you gonna help me?
Let me help y'all. When you doing something out of love, you got God with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got God with you,
mm-hmm.
the way that you wanted to come across in the flesh
mm-hmm.
is going to come across totally different in the spirit.
Wow.
Because God is with you.
Yeah.
That vulgar, that anger that you had that come across like
mm-hmm.
mean,
mm-hmm.
now it's going to come across pleasant.
Mm.
And so now it's going to be an instance of what comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of times I've seen myself, I responded in the wrong manner. Here.
That's good.
My
that
friend,
That's good.
My friend Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman was one of the worst guys on the court that would set up a lot of guys to get in technical fouls.
Right.
So what happened, he'll do something,
mm-hmm.
but it's always the one who retaliates.
Absolutely.
Gets the most punishment.
Absolutely.
And I always been fearful of that. The
mm-hmm.
one with the most, with the one who retaliates, reacts,
yep.
is the one who get punished the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in the church, when I want to go
Right.
And I'm being honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I got to really humble myself
right.
and say, okay, God, you do it.
Right. See, I had to learn that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I got into it. My pastor sat me down for 6 weeks one time because I got into it at a business meeting with somebody. And I said, everybody around me says you were justified to do what you did. It's just the way you did it.
Definitely.
You know, because I cussed some folk out in the church.
Definitely.
It just happened.
Let's be real. I got older preachers tell me, man, just go curse them out. Like,
exactly.
And I'm being real.
Exactly.
And I tell them, man, I don't come from that cloth.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why I don't. Everybody, I'm hood. I'm hood as hood can be, man. I'm serious. And I don't want to treat people in the church, my
mm-hmm.
spiritual brothers and sisters,
like I would treat people on the street.
In the street.
Right.
There has to be a separation.
Although
they do
talk to you,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
but you got to show some growth in you.
That's true. That's true, and that's where the growth comes because I know for a fact, just in the last year,
uh-huh.
how the growth has come based off how I have not responded.
I didn't say this to you, and I was gonna wait till everything over, but I'm proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
I am because one, with your candidacy, we can
uh-huh.
talk about it because it's out there.
It's out there now.
You have presented yourself in a way that I'm shocked.
Me too. You ain't by yourself.
And so, to be honest with you, I've been praying for you in that.
Right.
Now, everything else, I'm fine with you.
It's, right, right.
That part.
Right.
I know. Lord.
I know.
If you don't do nothing else.
If you don't do nothing else.
Do that one.
That's been my only prayer.
Yeah.
Because I understand that that's for some people.
That's the first thing. That's all they recognize and they know.
Exactly.
And here's the deal. And I explained this to some people a while back. I am very passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
And if you say you're going to do something, then and then you don't do it, and I see that what you're doing is now going to hurt or stagnate the process or the vision, then I get frustrated with that.
You're teaching something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why you teach something.
Go ahead.
Because many people are passionate about something,
mm-hmm.
and they see how others go about doing it.
Yeah.
And it makes them so angry and frustrated.
Exactly. Because you look back and say, well, why can't we just get this over with?
But can I be real with you?
Come on.
What I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody don't think like us.
That is true.
Everybody is not – they don't have the intelligence like us.
That's true.
And they don't have the common sense like us.
Wow.
And so we can't expect people to respond like us.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true.
And but the sad thing is, what we want them to respond in what we call simple,
because it's simple. Because here's the deal: anybody on the outside looking in goes, "Oh, well, that's just simple."
Yeah.
But when you've had a mentality, like you said earlier, a culture,
yeah,
of doing things a certain way, and then here I come with what I believe and 5,000 other people will believe is a real simple solution.
Yeah.
You go. You're trying to upset my apple cart.
Exactly. but now the catch is, and maybe this is gonna bless you,
mm-hmm.
people. That's how the enemy come in.
Yeah.
And that's how he does his job, and he does it effectively because he attacks us in areas that we know that he know we're weak at.
Absolutely.
And so,
but that's what we're there. I mean, that's what I mean. If you play sports, you attack the weak part of the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you watch film. And
that's
trust me,
that's good.
Satan got film all day long. Satan go,
that's good.
I know what. He's strong over there. So ain't no sense in attacking him that way.
That's good.
But let me let this chick walk past with the short skirt on
that's
and the high
good.
Heels. Let me throw a couple of them in front
that's
of him
good.
Real quick, or
that's
let me
good,
put this
man.
Food in front of you, or let me put this drink or this
that's
whatever. Satan know where you weak at.
Yeah,
he studied film.
He do. Hey, Akeisha, I see your comment. I ain't hood. Man, I wish I was hood.
She said you ain't hood.
Yeah. Man, Lord. Look, man, Lord, I wish I hey, I wish I wasn't hood.
Oh, God.
I'm probably one of the hoodest pastors you ever meet.
That's hilarious.
I'm serious. Like, I love the Lord. I love God, but mm-hmm. I know who I am. I come from the heart.
I love
the
Lord and I love God, but I don't like some of his
man, people. Listen here.
Lord have mercy.
That's why he didn't make me. He didn't make me. That's why God didn't make me Jesus. Because
right.
I would have zapped a lot of people out a long time ago.
You're right.
You are the weakest link.
I'm glad. Right. I'm glad that Jesus ain't like us.
Yeah.
Because we be short.
Exactly. Exactly.
You said what? You start over.
Yeah. Yeah.
New one. Start
I'm
over.
Serious, man. I know my lane. I'm
mm-hmm.
serious. You know, I know what he called me to do.
Yeah.
And I know what he graced me to do. And so I know the struggles that I dealt with in life. And then let me be real. The Lord allowed us to go down different pathways to allow us to deal with people on different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of my street knowledge, street
mm-hmm.
sense,
mm-hmm.
street smarts, if you will,
mm-hmm.
it's allowing me to connect with people of all walks of life
mm-hmm.
that an average church
mm-hmm.
boy wouldn't
mm-hmm.
deal with because they don't understand.
Right, right.
And so something that, you know, hey, I tell anybody, if I don't know what I'd be if I went to preacher now because I got injured playing football. So, hey, my next thing I was good at was game banging. For real, I survived.
This dude,
I survived.
I mean, it's man, it's a good thing, man. That came up too, man. Talking about dealing with tempers, that was another thing
for real.
That came up at
at
the fellowship, man. So it was good to sit back and it's good. It's like you say, it's just like if you know when if you work out, if you change your eating habit, and all of a sudden you see the
mm-hmm.
weight coming off.
Sure.
You see results.
Sure.
So even in situations like this.
Sure.
You see results.
Sure.
Because people see, it's like, you know, like what's different?
Sure.
Like what's different about this? You know, but and again, and what's so strange is just like you just said what you said about me, what's amazing is the people who come around and the people who you thought I ain't gonna say you thought they was cool, but people you thought everything was okay with, how now they got a whole lot of
oh, that's,
you know, and I say here comes Satan again.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Here comes Satan again. Now he's gonna use you to jab. Now I'm gonna use you to jab because see, he'll let you in.
Definitely.
You know, it's like that whole thing. You ever watch any of the shows? And they say, well, it don't look like it was a breaking. They broke the door down. They were let in. So that means they knew the person.
Exactly.
They knew who they let in. So Satan will use those people
that's good.
Who are closest to you
that's good.
To get to you
exactly.
because he knows you'll let them in.
Exactly.
Because see, the one who you fight with all the time,
exactly.
you're ready when they come.
Exactly.
I see you come. Man, it's like that dude when you was in the street.
Yeah.
That dude you knew, I got to watch him every time he come around. You on God.
You speaking something.
Come on.
It's not your enemies you need to be
not at all.
With.
Not at all.
And you know,
it's your associates.
And let me share something with you guys. Stop telling everybody everything about you.
Ah, my God.
Because you never know what they're going
to
try to
hide.
You never know what they're going to try to use for leverage in any given time. I'm serious. And sometimes we think that we have friends that we're able to share with.
Yeah.
Listen, what a friend you have in Jesus.
My.
And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you can't talk to Jesus about the conversation is not worth talking about.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm not trying to be so holier than thou.
No.
But I learned this through my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
The main one you go sharing and talking to is the one who stabbed you in the back. I never forget. In my marriage, when
mm-hmm.
I was going through,
mm-hmm.
That was a man that I looked up to dearly,
mm-hmm.
that I was sharing everything with him.
Mm-hmm.
Come
mm-hmm.
to find out, he was talking to her as well.
Mm.
So everything that I would tell him, he'll tell her.
See what I'm saying?
And so now it definitely became a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so now it makes you realize I'm telling him everything that I didn't tell the Lord.
Wow.
I'm telling him like he could change her mind.
Wow.
But it's the Lord who could have changed
right.
her mind.
Who you should have been talking to.
I wanted my marriage.
Who you should have been talking to.
But it was the Lord. I'm sharing with people what
yep.
they can't do.
Yeah, with nothing.
Nothing.
Can't do nothing for you.
But he can. He was sitting there waiting all the whole time saying, man,
but
dude,
that's,
but
that's the same difference as people who aren't married or who don't have anybody in their life. Trying to tell you about your relationship.
Oh, my God, man.
That's the same mess. People who ain't got nobody in their life, but they going to tell you how to do with yours, or your stuff ain't
God.
Right at your house.
Oh, my God.
But you got all the advice in the world for me in my house.
Oh, my God.
And watch this. Everybody know your mess.
Yeah.
But you got an opinion on what you believe is perceived as my mess. So you got all this advice and all of this newfound knowledge, you know, and what the best part about this whole experience is for me is all these newfound biblical scholars. Look,
now that's funny.
Look, we know.
That's funny.
We know. I'm willing to bet some pension that Negroes in the last month have read their Bible more in the last month, not since the process started, but in the last month, the month of October.
Oh, yes.
I'm willing to bet.
I'm starting calling you Mr. October.
Man, come on, Reggie Jackson, move over. I mean, you talk about biblical scholars. They ain't got nothing but two scriptures they read now.
Wow.
But they, I mean, it's biblical.
Wow.
I mean, you don't. They, look, man, you know how many theology degrees have been passed out in October?
Trust me, I can imagine, man.
Here you come.
I can imagine.
You ain't never. We can't even get you to read a scripture in Bible study.
Wow.
First of all, you don't come. But we can't even get you to read the scripture. But now you quoting scripture. My God.
I'm be honest. I can imagine that. And, you know, it's a rough road that we live in. I was just sharing with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It was yesterday, the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing how when people about to get a new relationship, you meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that person goes share with their friends and say that, man, I met me a nice girl or nice guy. And the first thing they start talking about is how, you better be careful this, you better be careful that, and you better watch this, watch that. I just wish people can live their own advice they give people. Like, here it is, you're struggling in the relationship or marriage you're in because you're so busy trying to fix somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Ayana, is that her name? Alina?
Ayana Van Zant, fix my life.
Fix my life and mess a lot of people up now.
Well, she a professional, though.
My point, her and Steve Harvey, they done made people, done made people trying to go outside their profession, man. I see more coaches in the world now, like life coaches in the world now.
Yeah, million of them.
Yeah, so my thing is, it got to be a point in people's lives that you mind your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And let this because you know you so busy over here and over there. Your house so small, you got to eat a large pizza outside.
The guy who preached yesterday, Pastor Marcus Clemens, I think his name Mark. His sermon title was "Jesus is in the house."
Okay.
And he used the story of Jesus returning to Capernaum.
Oh, okay.
And he just did the first two scriptures.
Okay.
Of it, he said the exact same things that you just got through saying.
Wow.
And stuff that we've been saying on this show and stuff I'd have preached and stuff you'd have talked about, stuff we'd had other people in this room have talked about, and it was amazing. He talked about hugging, like you said, something about what your ex-wife wouldn't do. He said, y'all get mad because folk don't want to hug y'all in the church. He said, but why would I want to hug you and I know you just got through talking about me?
Wow.
He said, be careful who you kiss on in the church. He said, don't put your... He said, oh, don't go kiss everybody in the church.
Woo! That's real talk,
he said, cause, and people, you get the super holy Christians, well, that ain't Christian. That's not a sign of growth. No. You still doing the mess you doing after you hug me ain't a sign of growth.
Exactly.
Don't say I'm doing this and I'm about to do this and then and in your heart of hearts you still holding on to whatever.
And why is it?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe y'all can help us out.
Come on, help us out.
Why is it that Christians have the hardest time forgiving other Christians? Why is it that we fall out more and bigger than disciples and vice lords?
I'll give you my answer. I don't know it to be true. There's no science behind it. Ain't no scripture behind it. I think because in the church, people hurt us in a different way. In the church, people come to church with more vulnerabilities than they do when they go into a relationship.
Right.
Right. People go into...
Church on the move.
Uh-huh. People go into... when you go into a relationship, you got your guard up.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you've been through a few, you're older.
Okay.
You know, you meet somebody new. Just like when you meet somebody new,
sure.
You're gonna have all type of fences and dates and all that kind of stuff because you don't want to see anything that looks familiar of the stuff that caused you pain before.
That's good.
But in the church, you come in and because of what you know of your own about the Bible, what you know of your own about God, you're supposed to come and be open.
Yeah.
So in church, we come wounds open, scabs revealed, band-aids off, and then we allow people to come with us and say, let me put this band-aid on you, sister. I see you bleeding, but I'm going to put this band-aid on you. But at the same time, I put the band-aid on you. I'm going to walk back to my crowd and say, I wonder how she got that scar.
Wow.
So and now you who said you were helping me, now I've let you in because watch this. You've seen my God. You've seen my scar.
I know you.
And now that you've seen my scars, and then watch this. I share with you
come on,
how I got my scars. See, I'm not going to share that with somebody I just met on the street and I'm taking out to dinner. But I go to church with you, so I've shared my scars with you. I've told you about my children's mother or my children's father. I've broken down. I never even put a barrier up with you. I let you in. And then he said, like Judas, you betrayed me with a kiss.
Man, it's amazing. I knew you was going there, and it's amazing.
It's hard. So that's why, and I'm not saying it's right not to forgive.
Exactly.
And we can forget, but that's why I tell people all the time, read your Bible. Don't say nothing about forget.
Yeah.
It says forgive.
Yeah.
So I can't give you that same access anymore.
I think that's Jeremiah chapter 17.
Mm-hmm.
It says the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we as people, we speak and say out of the mouth, we love, but action contradicts words.
Come on.
And that what makes us put up barriers.
Yes. And it's hard.
And no matter how saved you are.
It don't matter.
Because you, at the end of the day, you got to protect yourself.
This is where spiritual maturity comes in, but it takes a while to get there
because you're human.
We still flesh.
You're still flesh.
We are still flesh.
You're still flesh.
So when I see you who've hurt me, who've tried to hurt me, who've disparaged me, who've tried to kill my character, when I see you, my feel goes up.
Because some people are more flesh than spirit.
Come on.
And
come
so
on.
It's a war.
First of all, I'm already fighting a war with myself.
With yourself.
With myself.
That's good, man.
And now, because I made the mistake of letting you in, now I'm fighting a war with myself because if I let myself out, guess what? Something's going to happen to you.
Something's going to happen to you. I like that, and that's transparency.
It is,
because
man.
The easy route,
yeah.
the easy way of saying is, oh, the Bible said forgive them seven times 70.
Right.
You know,
some of y'all done used that up.
All
70.
Then used it up. See, we're not talking about what you done behind my back that
right.
didn't get to me.
Right. See?
You know, and
I'm only talking about stuff I know you did.
And then people, you tell on yourself because you have one of the most guiltiest looks in
uh-huh.
America.
Uh-huh.
You look like you got a stomach full of gas when you look.
Alka-Seltzer, please.
Man, for it, like you just look, you know something is wrong.
Right.
Or you dodging me.
Yeah.
Now, I'll share something with you. Now, I got to get spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said, in the name of Jesus, demons must tremble.
Mm. They flee.
They
come on.
But they tremble
they
as
tremble
well.
First, right.
Here, when you're anointed, and when that demonic spirit try to come upon you,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is come in the atmosphere.
That's it.
He'll start trembling. He'll start getting fearful
mm-hmm.
because he can't hang and handle your anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scripture didn't say submit your life to God, resist the devil,
mm-hmm.
then he shall flee.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain instances because of your presence
mm-hmm.
and because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatically going to make the enemy flee
mm-hmm.
without a shadow of doubt. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your presence
yeah.
matter because you should carry power everywhere you go, man.
And once you get to that level, you won't have to say anything.
Because you don't owe nobody
right.
an explanation.
Oh, my. Oh, my. But
as a believer.
But again, back to your original question. That's why I believe it's hard for Christians to stop holding grudges.
Yeah.
Because I know there are people. There are people now. There are people now. There's people listening to this radio show right now.
That got grudge from somebody.
That's got a grudge that's listening to the radio show right now.
Yes, sir.
There's folk in the Facebook room right now that's mad at other people in the Facebook room right now.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. And I'm comfortable with saying that.
Yeah.
And holding on to that stuff, it hurts you.
It does.
It took me a while. It, you know, a lot of crazy stuff happened, family and all that stuff. It took me a while. It's like you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can't sleep.
That's
you
good.
Walking around going off on the slightest thing, and you
That's
and you're
good.
Mad about now every little thing makes you mad.
That's good.
Because
man.
You've not addressed this thing.
That's good.
And you're carrying it, and that person's sleeping like a baby.
Sleeping like, man. Listen, I was just talking about that, man. How. We carrying stuff for so long. We've been carrying stuff 20, 30 years and don't even know that we carrying it. And
45.
People, it's infecting us.
Yes.
In every little thing. And 9 times out of 10, that person that you really get into it with is not the trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the person that you really want to explore.
No. They just happen to catch it.
They just happen to
catch
it.
The fallout.
You've been, listen, a lot of us have been hurt and our parents hurt us.
Yep.
Grandparents.
Yep.
Some been molested.
Yep.
Some have been stolen from some.
Yep.
Didn't get a chance to go to the right school. I mean, it's many issues that we deal with.
Yep.
That we carry on for generations, for
yep.
generations.
Yep.
And not knowing that we're holding on to this. I had to deal with something,
mm-hmm.
and I think I shared this before when it came down to relationships
mm-hmm.
and marriage because of me and my mom relationship.
Right. Right.
I had in my mindset, I had every woman that come and tell me they love me,
mm-hmm.
they was gonna leave me.
Mm.
They was gonna hurt me.
That was your thought.
That was my thought.
That was your thought.
Because it originated from the person I
because
gave my
that
heart
was your
to first.
Experience.
That was my experience.
That was your experience.
I gave my heart to my mom and it happened. Now not to say my mom is bad,
right.
anything.
Right, right.
I love her to death.
Right.
However, it was an episode that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm carrying that thing with me
right.
for all these many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start seeing that you're about to hurt me, I try to get my lick first.
Absolutely. That's the human nature.
That's the human nature.
That's the human nature.
But it was unfair because I didn't give the person a true chance
mm-hmm.
to love me with authenticity.
Wow. Wow. That's good.
And many
That's
people
good.
Is dealing with that same crisis today.
Right.
Because of their past.
Right.
And I call it you're tortured by your past.
Wow.
You got past issues, past problems that you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
and you incur in new situations.
Right.
And you don't know how to deal with the new situation
mm-hmm.
because you keep living in the past.
Yeah. 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 It's just, man, I guess the question after we figure out what that is what's the solution? How do you move past it?
You got to face it. You got to face that demon.
Does that mean that confronting the person?
No, confront the demon.
Okay.
The problem.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not really the person.
Okay.
It's not a person. It's a spirit.
Okay.
That we must confront.
Okay.
See, we don't fight against flesh and blood.
Okay. Right, right.
But it's that spirit that we that continue to grow. Now, it's fine. You can talk about it to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you got to be able to overcome that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, when I finally sat down with my mom and my dad,
mm-hmm.
I realized talking to them, it made it better, but it didn't solve the problem.
No.
The problem got solved when I looked at that demon flat in his eye
mm-hmm.
and told him that he must flee.
Right.
I have defeated you in this capacity.
Yeah, I've had this pity party long enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now by me facing it, now I had to accept it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one, you got to face it and accept it that it beat you before.
Mm. Yeah. That I lost.
I lost.
That this area caused me some loss.
I lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then after you do all that, now you got to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the part he don't understand, because let me tell you something. This is going to help somebody. Your past will never catch up to you unless you turn around and go back to it and meet it. No matter what, your past can never catch up. If you're moving full speed ahead, your past will never catch up to you unless you go back to it.
That's good.
And a lot of times we go, past don't catch up with us.
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about our past follow us everywhere we go. It may follow you, but it will never catch up to you.
Come on now.
It will not stop you, because the word says,
come on now,
whatever he just started in you, he will complete.
That's it. That's good.
So it's not going to knock you or stop you from doing it.
That's good.
You just got to stop reminding yourself of what you used to be.
Yeah. and stop allowing other people.
Exactly.
To remind you. Because some people
get the hell away from them.
Now that's true. That's real. Some people.
I'm serious.
Some people only watch this. They don't like where you're going.
Oh, no.
And because they don't like where you're going,
oh, no.
They only want to keep you as I remember you when.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And what's amazing is, now here's the part that I love for me personally. The people who say, I remember you, and they only remember you from what they think they knew.
Oh.
Because you never even, if I be so frank to borrow a line from Jesus.
You're preaching.
Depart from me, because I never knew you.
I never knew you.
You never knew me in the first place.
All right. I don't know if I shared this with you. One of my family members died on my mom's side,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen a lot of my family over 20 years.
Right.
And so I've been preaching 20 years.
Wow.
So they haven't seen me since I was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So all they remember was this guy on the football field or this street guy.
Right.
And so now when I get to the funeral, all I keep hearing is, this little JoJo, I remember when. I have to politely tell him,
mm-hmm.
let the past be the past.
Yeah.
Everybody don't need to know my past.
Right. Right.
Everybody don't need to know where I come from.
Right, right.
And then some people, and maybe this is going to help some of you guys on this line, some people, you just got to love the hell out of them. And I'm not cursing, because some people got so much hell in them that the only way that they'll get converted, delivered, you got to love that hell out of them.
Or get the hell away,
from them.
From them. Meaning get the hell up out of them. That's, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do not pass go.
And there does come a time, man. I think people can be, people hurt you, disrespect you. I think you can be cordial.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about being phony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speak and keep it moving. Now
I like that.
Watch this though. Now you know you did some dirt.
Mm.
Don't try to hold no whole conversation with me. I'm gonna speak and speak back. But don't try to come and do no whole bunch of extra.
Try to feel you out.
Wait, you want to do extra, and then you want to do it in front of people.
They're trying to feel you out.
They want to do it in front of people.
They safety net.
So no. Like you said earlier, so that people can see my reaction when I don't speak back, or when I act like I don't want to hold a conversation. Now I'm rude.
That's deep.
Because I decided to walk away because I don't want to play your game with you.
I like that.
Rude now.
That's deep. Oh, and you see what he did?
Right. And he want to be the pastor.
They brought some professional witness.
Right. Y'all see I had to speak to him twice, right?
The professional mourners, they professional witness.
Right. But this is the part I love, though. When you saw me by myself.
You didn't speak
you
to
didn't
me.
Open your mouth.
Exactly. You need a crowd.
But you waited until it was a crowd when you had two or three witnesses.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah.
When you had you some witness, Hey, Dana.
Oh, my God.
Hi, how you doing? And I'm walking. I'm still walking.
We some rough folks.
He didn't even
want to
speak.
We are some rough folks to deal with.
And this is so amazing. People go, you know, people say, I would rather deal with Negroes in the street.
For real?
Because at least in the street, I know what I'm getting.
Listen here, when I was in the street.
you knew what you were.
We didn't have a problem drinking a 40 out the same bottle.
Well.
And I'm being 100. I know you probably didn't do that one.
No, I had my 40-ounce time then.
Right, but your own.
See how the shade come?
He had an upscale 40.
Y'all see how the...
He didn't have OE.
Yeah, we can't even have a conversation.
He didn't have OE. Yes.
Y'all see how the...
He had top notch. He had premium. For real. He didn't have OE.
Y'all hear how the shade just come through real quick?
Y'all know my brother Bougie, y'all. It ain't no secret. Hey, but real talk, I used to be able to...
Buy 40s
look
for
at
everybody.
It. Yeah, he buy for everybody.
I just buy 40s for everybody.
That's I went to the liquor store to get 40s.
What you want?
I get what you want, but you ain't having none of this.
That's because I knew what some of the bros was doing.
Man, that's crazy. But real talk, I'm sure something. When we was in the world, man, we were able to do so much together.
Yes.
That now we're in the church. We can't shake our hands without somebody putting hand sanitizer
on. Think about this for a second. Think about the amount of unity you had. I ain't even talking about with the gangbanger stuff, right?
Mm.
I'm just talking about the people you hung with.
The
unity you
family.
Had. Y'all was family.
Yeah. Y'all was
and
family.
And with no blood involved.
None whatsoever.
None.
None whatsoever.
I heard a preacher preach this a while back here at this church. He said, DNA just make you related.
That's it.
It don't make you family.
That's it.
It makes you related.
Just related.
And I thought about this. I said the unity and that you had with the people that were just out, that you just hung on the corner with, or the people you just went out with all the time.
Good.
That was the amount of loyalty there.
I like that.
Loyalty there, and it was authentic. You didn't even question it.
You didn't question it.
You know, you had a group of people that you know, like, hey, you know what? If it goes down, it's going down, and we all going.
And not only that, man, when your mama or your grandma cook.
Yeah, they had no problem.
No problem. Some of us don't even get invites to our family house. Some people. Uh-oh.
I was just saying. You're right. No, some people don't.
You can't even get an invite. You hungry, but you can't go to your own family house to eat.
Or the tension is so horrible. You don't want to go eat because because now you can't even enjoy your food because every time you get ready to take a bite, you wondering. I wonder is what they say. You know, I ain't forgot what you said about me.
I know, right?
You know, I mean, what you did too.
Listen, I know.
And I ain't forgot about what you did too.
Man,
food be done got cold because I'm sitting around the table speculating.
I gotta say, there's one thing I'm thankful for with my family.
Yes,
we have a huge family, but we don't play that. You know, the cousins going. We don't crack about talk about our aunts and uncles.
Right.
We're gonna do that. That's automatic.
Right. Right.
But we're not gonna make each other cousins. We don't do that.
Right. Pit each other against one another.
We don't do that. Even with they
and,
spouses
and in family, that should not happen.
Now we don't do it.
You
man.
Should not
no.
be pitting one family
no.
member against
uh-uh.
another. But unfortunately, in a lot of circumstances. This is and again, it's not a it's not a slight to anybody. Everybody's family dynamic is different, but when you can sit back and you know this is why this time of year is hard for a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know and you know it's bad.
It's bad
time when you have families that are splintered and y'all having Thanksgiving over here at y'all's house and they having Thanksgiving over here at their house. Now, don't get me wrong. If you got small places and small spaces, great. You know you can't host everybody.
Uh-huh.
But in the cases where you can and you don't, and don't get me wrong, I'll say this right now because, you know, my family ain't that tight. But I'll give my auntie Monique, she always, when the holiday come, I'm waiting. I'm sure it'll come up again. She, you know, if it's at her house, she goes, Danny, you know you guys, I'm hoping you guys will come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a couple years ago, I did go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bit my tongue and I went. And I, you know, and actually, I had a nice time while I was there, but still, you walk in, you feel that tension.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason I went was because her husband
wow.
said, "Man, come over here. I won't be the only dude over here." You know, he said, man, come hang out with me. Gotcha. You know, and I think the Lakers was playing. He's like, come watch the game. I'm like, all right, Jerry, I'll come hang out.
Gotcha.
You know, so that was my way in. But with a lot of families and a lot of people, it's this dynamic where, you know, there's a lot of unresolved issues.
It is. It is.
And it goes back to what you said. If they're never addressed.
Yeah.
Then now here's the deal. You could be over it.
Yeah.
But I still got an issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're over it. You done moved on with your life.
Yeah.
I still got an issue.
Yeah. And that's sad. You know, I would love to do a show on healing the heart.
Ooh, that's good.
And I preached a message concerning to matters of the heart.
That would be good to get like a pastor who has counseling background.
Exactly.
Yeah, have them come
because
in.
Because there's so many people dealing with issues of the heart that we don't know how to deal with it.
We could probably pull it off on a Wednesday.
I'm serious.
Easy on a Wednesday.
And I'll come in.
That's good. We could probably do
because
that.
Because there's still some areas in my life.
Tanya, let's work on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some areas in my life that I want to deal with my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because a lot of issues are heart issues.
Are heart issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can live
mm-hmm.
with a one arm.
Mm-hmm.
You can live with
mm-hmm.
When you're brain dead.
Yeah, you're still living. You're still breathing.
You're still breathing.
Because the heart's still pumping.
The heart's still pumping. But when the heart
starts to fail. Yeah.
And a lot of us are walking dead spiritually.
Oh, my.
Because our heart has been so corrupt.
Oh, my. That's good.
I'm serious. And it's damaging relationships.
Wow.
Relationships that's intended for us to have by the grace of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, like, let me say this. Rick Warren said this best. He said, your spiritual family is closer to you than your biological family. In essence, he's suggesting that what you said about DNA, everybody in your spiritual family your biological family would not get to heaven.
Because
you got those who are atheists, those who don't
mm-hmm.
believe, those who just live a life where they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have believers.
Mm-hmm.
But in your spiritual family,
mm-hmm.
we're suggested that we all get to eternal life because we're spiritual family.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know how to deal
mm-hmm.
with the ones that needs to be in our life
mm-hmm.
because we've been damaged in our heart
mm-hmm.
for those who didn't need to be in our life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so now it's overtaken us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's overtaken us. I guarantee you and I,
mm-hmm.
many of you that's listening,
yeah.
have relationships that you can go back to
mm-hmm.
and think about
yep.
how you messed it up or
yeah.
how it messed up
yeah.
because matters of the heart.
Wow. That's good, man. That and the thing about it is you have to be open and willing to want things to change. And everything that and watch this, not willing to change and necessarily be in your favor.
Exactly.
Exactly. See, that's where we get messed
exactly.
up at. I want to talk, and I want to have to sit down, but
yeah.
I need you to leave here
yeah.
Understanding and agreeing with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You lost already.
Yeah.
You wasted your time.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to apologize even when you're right. that's a word for somebody.
Oh, my.
Sometimes you have to apologize
even when
you're right.
Oh, my.
You know, it's no problem clearing the air.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying be a dummy.
Yeah,
or
right,
fool.
Right.
But clear the air and you keep it moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you act ugly because the next man is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of the day, live your life with a clear conscience.
Mm-hmm.
That you did everything in your power to make it work. How I got healed from my marriage,
ooh.
I felt in my heart I did everything that I needed to do to try to keep it.
We got a question. Says, how do I deal with one who isn't easily to forgive? He always says, I forgive, but I don't forget.
Well, the number one way to deal with that is really giving it to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Because truth be told, what happens, most people, we forgive people for many things they do, and they come back and do the same stuff over again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the challenge is, how do we still deal with that matter?
Yeah, yeah.
And so in order for it to keep coming our way, it must be a test.
Because you have not dealt with it.
Because you have not dealt with
it. You have not dealt with it. And I say this about churches. The reason churches going through the same scenarios over and over again, because y'all have not dealt with the issue.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Because some people, I guess dig a little deeper into that. The question says, well, one who doesn't easily forgive,
the thing about it is, you think about, you, and it's not to, you know, not to try to exegete nothing, but you think about that whole thief on the cross situation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And no, we're not Jesus, but we should be striving to be more like him.
Yeah.
And even in the moment where he was being killed and crucified for something that he didn't, for doing nothing.
Wow.
He still had the courage and the spirituality enough to look down at the very people that were doing what they were doing and saying, Father, forgive them.
Wow. Wow.
So even in the midst of his persecution and the midst of his crucifixion. Now, mind you, our forgiveness ain't nobody, you know, in some cases, nobody's physically harmed us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, some people have,
uh-huh.
but nobody has physically harmed us. Well, you know, a lot of stuff people have harmed you with just their mouth. They put their mouth on you. And that, right. and that hurts too. Don't
biggest,
get me wrong.
That's the biggest lie I've ever told.
Yeah.
Sticks and stones will make friends
and
bones.
Yeah,
words
never hurt me. Yeah, that was just, it sounded good.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded good.
Yeah, it's something to tell little kids
exactly.
when they don't get, so they don't fight. But
yep.
that reality is different. But the fact that this was happening to him, and he still said, forgive them.
For they know not what they do.
Right, for they know not what they do. So it's like our issues are minuscule when you look at, when you compare them to this.
That's good.
So what I had to do to start to forgive people that really tried to, you know, spiritually kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody tried to physically kill me. I ain't worried about that. But people who tried to spiritually kill me, I had to sit there and hold my issue up. And like you said, then I look at the cross.
Wow.
And then I say, cross.
Wow.
Dana.
Wow.
Cross.
Wow.
Dana. And the more I looked at the cross, Dana got lower on
exactly.
on the scale of importance.
That's good.
So I said, well, if he could do that, then I thought about this. He said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
And then I thought about, well, look how many times I've hurt Jesus.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
I said, look how many times I've hurt him.
That's good.
So, and he forgives me.
That's good.
So how can I still hold a grudge against you?
Wow.
When I'm constantly asking for forgiveness daily.
Now that's deep. You know, another, and that's, he just gave it to you in a profound way.
I'm just
but
done.
I'm going to give it to you in a simple form.
Come on.
Do unto others as you want others to do unto you.
Oh my. Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Another way of learning to forgive others is you forgive them based upon how you want others to forgive you.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I learned this. The more you do good to people,
mm-hmm.
stop looking for the ones you do good to do good back to you.
Right, right.
And I don't know if anybody missed it, but I'm going to say it again. Stop looking for those that you do good to do good back to you in return.
But that's where a lot of the hurt comes from.
I know.
Because when we do so much for people, and then those very people turn around and hurt us, it doesn't just hurt. It's a sense of betrayal.
Lord, have mercy.
And so now it's like, wow. So now you put me in a situation where I don't want to help nobody.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't want to help nobody, even though I can.
Exactly.
And so now you'll sit back and you'll see something that you know you can help and put input on, but the very people that you may have to work with have hurt you in some kind of way. So now, watch this. Now you're going to cheat the mission.
Wow.
Because now I'm not going to work with y'all.
Wow.
Because y'all messy as hell.
You're taking the easy way out.
I understand it.
Yeah.
It's wrong,
but
I understand the humanity of it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you go.
I understand the humanity of it.
Yeah.
Spiritually, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
You know, biblically, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
But I understand the humanity of it.
Yeah.
And all you can do is try to get those people to understand as you grow that there's gonna come a time because here's the other deal. And this is where you talked about the church. People in the church are harder to forgive than people out on the street. Folk at your job piss you off all the time.
But you still go every day.
You sure go to work. You might not like your manager. You still going to work. You might like the person you have to share an office with. You might like the person they've done the same things to you at your job that they've done to you at church, but you showing up at 9:00.
You know, it's amazing. I just said, and man, you a lot of stuff you're saying, I put in my sermon yesterday.
Okay.
Here, we predetermine our day,
mm-hmm.
so the atmosphere of our day.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning.
Yep.
On your way to work.
Yep.
The first thing you say, I can't wait till 4:30, 5 o'clock get here.
Yep.
You haven't even got to your job yet.
Mm-hmm.
You already in your mindset saying that you're going to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And by you saying you're going to have a bad day, that's pretty much your attitude.
Mm.
And that's you bringing your attitude becomes your atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so here it is. We carry the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
And that becomes our atmosphere.
Yeah.
And when it becomes our atmosphere, it becomes our character.
Mm-hmm. And everything around you is affected.
Everything.
When atmosphere changes,
everything around
you gets affected.
It does.
So now when the person who comes up to you, who really ain't got no beef with you, really got no problem with you, but because of the atmosphere you're in, they get caught in your storm.
Exactly. Exactly.
They get caught up in your storm.
Exactly.
And all they did was ask you a question.
A question.
Wow.
A question.
Wow.
And it's amazing how we go through life and deal with life issues,
mm-hmm.
the way that we do, the wrong way.
Mm.
And we tend to get mad at the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but we get mad at God, and he have not even known of our problems.
Yeah.
Even though Matthew suggests that he knows everything about us before we even asked of him,
mm-hmm.
but he still wanted to hear the request come from us.
Mm-hmm.
But he hear it through conversations to others. He don't hear it through conversation that we have with him. And so because we don't go to him with matters of the heart,
mm-hmm.
our heart continue to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our heart continue to be in pain. And I guarantee this, many of us walking through this life with a broken heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't even know that it's broken.
Absolutely.
Simple as this, we live our life on broken pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because our heart has been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's hard. When your heart is hurt, it's hard for you to start believing and trusting in people.
Yeah.
It's like you having so many different barriers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start. And I'm serious. I want us to do the show on that because I believe that it'll be a great turnout, even on the radio side.
Mm-hmm. It'll be good. It'll be huge.
It'll be huge because a lot of us are dealing with heart issues and don't know that we're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't. We don't know that the things that we have endured concerning our heart is mm-hmm. really affecting how we live.
Yeah, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think it's I think it's my God brother's wife. you're so dumb. But yeah, I completely agree with you, man. It's one of those things where it's some stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And until you address it,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna always have this you're gonna always feel like you're hitting this constant roller coaster.
Yeah.
Everything can go well for a couple of days, and then one thing happens, and you don't go back two steps; you go back 10.
Yeah. You're on a seesaw.
Yeah, or roller coaster.
It's just like, all right, here, I use this. You know how you question a situation, right?
Right.
It's like some days is up, some days is down.
Right.
And they keep taking turns. So it's like it keep throwing your equilibrium off.
Mm-hmm.
And you get dizzy along the way. It's like you really don't know how to take it. And it reminds me of church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have three or four good services, mm-hmm. but then here come two or three of that bad services.
Right.
And so now it's like you're up, or we here. Oh, man, we got momentum. But then we start seeing it drilling down like, oh, man, we're going back to where we used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not taking control of the situation.
Absolutely.
We're not. And what happened, we allowed the situation to take control over us.
Mm.
Instead of us controlling the situation.
That's good.
We give in to matters that's irrelevant to our personal life.
Mm-hmm.
We give attention to things that don't matter in our personal life. Here, that's just like dating. Watch this. I put on Facebook the other day about don't force yourself into a person's life. You're bigger than a text message.
Wow. Wow.
I believe when you're trying to date somebody, you're trying to see someone,
mm-hmm.
if they don't make the time for you, then it's a signal.
Wow.
You can't force that person.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take the ownership and it is what it is,
mm-hmm.
to ask yourself two questions. Do I stay or do I leave?
Wow.
at the end of the day, it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person normally don't tell you to stay, or he don't tell you to leave, he or she.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to you making that decision. Now, at the end, if it don't work out, you can't get mad at that person. You got to get mad at you because you didn't make the decision
mm-hmm.
that you know you should have made a long time ago.
Right, right, right.
Here, you're bigger than that. Even a lot of these groups and all that, how singles group, people don't post to meet. They mm-hmm. post for likes.
Yeah, yeah.
They post pictures for likes. They don't
That's
post
true.
To meet. And so here it is. You got a person that's showing you interest, a person that really see all the baggage you have, but they looking up, looking beyond that, saying, listen, I don't care what you have. I'm willing to help you unpack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But all you giving them is just a sample of you.
Yeah.
And the sample of you is not even the reality of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't expect somebody when you need them to step up to the plate. No, I tried before. You didn't let me in. I'm sitting here knocking at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't let me in.
Yeah,
I feel like Peter at the door.
Yeah,
you didn't let me in. So
that's good.
A lot of times we
that's
waste
real good. That's
time.
Good. That's teaching that.
On situations
that's teaching.
That's not valuable to mm-hmm. our life.
That's good teaching.
Seriously, we waste time, but then we get mad
mm-hmm.
at people
mm-hmm.
because they didn't do what we want them to do.
Mm.
But sometimes it's not what they want us to do, it's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you got to ask yourself, if I'm going to stay, stop complaining.
Wow.
If I'm going to go, move, proceed with cautious.
Mm.
But if you're going to stay, stop complaining about what you're not getting. Because nobody didn't hold your head, no gun to your head, and making you stay. That's your decision. One of the biggest things in life is making decisions. We don't know how to make pertinent decisions, key decisions, because always remember the decisions we make is not just for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's for everyone that's really around you because your attitude affects everyone else around you.
Yeah, that's real. That's good.
And I'm serious.
That's
and so
good.
When things don't work in your favor, 9 times out of 10, and I'm going to say this, 9 times out of 10,
mm-hmm.
when things don't work in your favor, we blame everybody else and don't look at ourselves.
Wow. Wow.
I'm dead serious.
I think it goes back to the earlier comment. Is because we don't want to recognize some of the a lot of the baggage that we bring to situations. A lot of the baggage, a lot of the hurts. We're still carrying, you know, the worst. And I've learned this. I can speak from experience. I've learned this. You bring baggage. It's like you talked about this earlier. You bring in barriers from some previous hurts, relationships.
Seriously.
And now you come with this next relationship, and you got more issues. And now you start putting on that new person
Seriously.
The drama you had with the other person, and because they showed you saw a twinkling of something that reminded you of what they did.
Seriously.
So now you go into straight shutdown mode.
Straight shutdown mode. And I can I be real? I was like that.
Come on.
When I start seeing, like, here, when one of my biggest problems, and I'm not ashamed to be transparent in my ex-marriage.
Right.
One of my biggest problems was when there was something wrong, and I didn't know what I did wrong,
uh-huh.
but there was an immediate shutdown for her.
Okay.
That
okay.
was our barrier of communication.
Okay.
So here it is. We stopped talking, but live in the same household. For a month or two
mm-hmm.
over something that only took a 5-minute conversation.
Wow.
And so because of that, I see how she ran.
Mm.
Now, instead of me conquering that spirit, I became that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now when I was trying to get involved in relationships, I started running.
Mm.
I started being defensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of not facing the problem at hand.
Okay.
And so now I came with the 5-minute rule is when there is something going on, seriously, I don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it right now. Let it come out the way it needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to take time to think about it. If you want to let it out right now and it's loud,
mm-hmm.
if it's angry,
right.
let it out.
Yeah.
Because I know that's your true heart.
That's good.
Versus you taking time to sit back and talk about it and fix it up
mm-hmm,
to cater to my feelings.
That's good.
Now I know you're being real if you just let it out and just give it to me in the raw.
Wow.
I'm not and if a true person is not listening
yeah.
to how it came out,
yeah.
but he's listening to the words that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And he's accepting how, even if he agree or disagree, he's accepting how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of my biggest things now. I might not argue, and I'm not one who likes to argue. I'm not
right.
going to go back and forth with you.
Right, right.
I will respect how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, I apologize, and I like to keep it moving.
Mm.
But let's not harp on something that we didn't both went past.
Yeah, yeah. And at some point, we have to move to a place of this is not helping. This is not helping any of us.
Exactly.
That this is not helping either of us, and it's stunting our growth. And that's not a relationship.
Not
that's in business.
Everything.
In church.
In church.
It stunts your growth.
I believe, and this is one of the set skills we need to do in church. And we might have created it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't see nobody in the church really doing services or, and when I say services, not a church service, but
right.
a ministry.
Right.
Dealing with forgiveness or matters of the heart. How
right.
do we deal with hurt and
right.
all this stuff?
Right. Matters
you know,
of the heart. They just.
We think going through a counselor is not of God. The devil is a lie.
Just come to the altar and pray.
Yeah, that's the old school
you
way
ain't
of
praying enough.
Exactly. Exactly. That's not confronting the problem.
Right. Right.
It's not. And so I believe because man, you know, you got so many deacons have problems with the new pastor because they had issues with the old pastor.
Well.
I mean, you know, it's not that you are a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they have not reconciled in, within themselves.
Right.
And so now, because here it is, you educated, you're more knowledgeable,
right.
you're more word-based,
right.
and now you're challenging them.
See?
Now they have an issue with you.
Mm.
And it's not really me.
Mm-hmm. But you're challenging all of my... Everything that I you're challenging my culture.
Yes, yes.
Because now you're questioning everything. You're questioning everything that we've ever done. And,
yes.
And now you're causing problems, sir.
Yes. Oh, I was going to tell you we should start doing it.
I've been thinking about it now. So
that's good.
I just need to figure out how to get it. See if it's doable with all this other stuff we got going.
Oh, yeah,
or do we need
yeah.
a third camera?
Yeah. 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 That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah. Man, I definitely. Hit you on it, and you know, man, I'm really excited for that. I don't want us to let go of this one.
No. I
believe that's
I'm in total agreement.
I think we should even how we do big subject matters
mm-hmm.
through a flyer,
mm-hmm.
because and to be honest, which it might take a part one, part two.
It's possible. That's why I said do it Wednesday would be better because
yeah.
no time constraints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
I definitely think that will work.
And I wouldn't even want to be a facilitator. I really want to be one to just get poured into.
Well, yeah, that's why we need to find people who can discuss it. I honestly, I think somebody that would be great. I don't know if he'd be available to do it though. I think Reggie Roy would be great.
Definitely.
Reggie Roy would be great. And it's a couple other ones. I mean, you may have somebody too, but I think he would be great. Just to sit down and have that discussion, matters of the heart, and it would help, man. I think
Definitely.
It would help a lot of people, help a lot of people with a lot of their situations, man. I do. That's just my.
I'm with
you
that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. I can't even. Yeah,
I'm with that.
Yeah, I'm with that one. Man, this has been awesome.
We need to get to the.
And the article was actually good.
Wow, let's save it for next week.
We got it's good, man, because it talks, you know, it talks dealing with culture.
Wow,
it's my seat.
Yeah,
you know, sit somewhere different, break up the monotony, break up the, you know, shows a sign of growth that I can come to church and sit. It was so
That's
funny because we had this example yesterday because I got to church at 11:00 and somebody was sitting in my seat in the pulpit. I felt some kind of way. Right, I gave him a short look from a distance.
I love it, man. I love it.
Oh, y'all, man, come on, pray us out, man, as we get out of here.
Father in heaven, we thank you, honor you, God. You're glorious, God.
Yes,
we worship you, God. God, today has been very therapeutic in
yes,
the spirit
God.
Realm.
Yes, God.
God, we hope something that was said today through my brother and I that would convict, convert, and change minds that's in the airways, God, that get us to the point of forgiving. Get us to the point of moving forward in life, God. It was great, great conversation, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Father, we pray when we leave this place that you keep us in your care.
Yeah.
God, I'm even thankful for the murder rate and violence in the city of Chicago has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to pray, God. We see improvement, but now we need to see more of your glory.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Real quick, I forgot to mention at the very top of the show, We want to send our condolences to the Bryant family. One of our mothers here at the church, Bertie Bryant, passed away today. Got that message this morning on my way while I was getting ready to come here. Mother Bertie Bryant, man, that was a feisty lady, man. So definitely sad to hear that. She will definitely be missed. Definitely be missed. Julian Spencer, you know, Ivy coming to town next week.
Oh, definitely.
But I asked Julian to have him on, that both of them come on the show, and Julian go,
come on. No, hey, come on. Hey, POTL.
So maybe you work on it.
Chili cheese Fritos.
You work on it.
I got him. Because
he's doing his revival again.
Yeah,
and he's going to be here for 3 days.
Yeah, we're going
to. So I was like, well.
So I'm going to see. I know I'm going to see President about 2 or 3 days.
I said at least.
Yeah.
That Monday, because he's doing revival, I think that's Friday, Sunday, Monday, or something like that.
Yeah.
I forgot how they got it set up. I thought, like, man, he'd come to the show.
I definitely would see him. Spence, let's hook up, man. let's do it, man. Let's bring, there you go. Let's bring the president in, man. Let's bring him in.
Okay, we're going to see. We're going to see. So we come in, and man, look here. Julian, you can actually help out with this Matters of the Heart situation.
Oh.
Be one of the pastors and to come in to do that, man.
Oh,
that would be
good.
Great.
That's
what I'm
good.
Saying?
That's good.
You know, if you went all the way out in Aurora, I would say we could do our show from you, but man, that's like coming to Egypt.
Way down.
Right. That's like coming to Egypt, man. You know, packing up all this stuff. Anyway, y'all, look, we got to go. It's been great. We will see y'all on Wednesday. Y'all stay blessed, man. And remember, if you got to drive through this city we call Chicago, please, man, please, sir, keep your head on a swivel. We got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Peace.